Republican presidential candidates are campaigning in South Carolina today, ahead of that state's GOP primary on February 20th. The Democrats vote in that state on February 27th. Donald Trump trounced the rest of the GOP field and then gave him a little kick for good measure in his victory speech.
They're terrific. A number of them called, and I just wanted to thank them, but I wanted to congratulate the other candidates, okay? Now that I got that over with...
Jeb Bush came in fourth in New Hampshire, and he declared, "I am not dead."
Well, meanwhile, the next battle for Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders will be in Nevada on February 20th. Sanders crushed Clinton last night by more than 20 points in New Hampshire. That's a state she won in 2008. And joining us now to talk about all of this are here now political analyst Angela Rye, a Democratic strategist, and Paris Denard, Republican strategist. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Angela, I want to start with you because as I was watching Bernie Sanders' speech last night, which, by the way, went on longer than any of the others, it seemed like he knew what he was doing. He was on in prime time and he got to get his message out there. But one of the things that he kept coming back to over and over and over was really the centerpiece of his campaign. Listen to this montage we put together.
The top 0.1%. More income and wealth inequality to the billionaire class and the 1%. A rigged economy, tax breaks for billionaires, the 1%.
Angela, that really seems to be resonating with at least the Democratic voters in New Hampshire, but clearly Democrats in many other places as well.
Sure. I think that what you're seeing right now, Jeremy, is a group of people, not even just Democrats. I would argue that this is the same on the Republican side of the aisle, and this is why Donald Trump continues to do very well. There are folks that feel left out of a system, and anything that is reminiscent of that system, whether they be called an establishment candidate or what once was coming again with the Clintons or the Bushes, folks are seeming to rebel against that on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, and Paris, I just wanted to ask you to weigh in on Hillary Clinton, because you did comment on her on Twitter last night. Now, she, in her speech, really went even further than she has in stressing her similarities with Bernie Sanders. Let's listen.
A president has to do all parts of the job for all Americans to make sure nothing holds you back. Not debt, not discrimination, not a deck that's always stacked for those at the top. We need to break down those barriers and build ladders of opportunity for every person.
And Paris Denard, again, a Republican strategist. You tweeted out something last night about Hillary Clinton, who she's comparing herself to. What'd you say?
You know, basically, she's in an identity crisis. She keeps comparing herself to being a progressive. Then she goes into and she's going to be a moderate. Now, tonight or last night, she was talking about how closely her policies were with Bernie Sanders. Before that, at the debate, she was talking about how closely her policies are with President Obama. So she really is in this identity crisis of trying to identify who she is as a candidate. Yeah. It's not the message that's the problem. I know her campaign is talking about going and hitting the reset button. It's the messenger, and it's not connecting with the American people in the Democratic base.
You told her in your tweet, just be yourself. You know, that might be the problem. But Angela, again, a Democratic strategist, I just have to ask you quickly. Bob Schrum, who's the former Democratic strategist, wrote the same thing Paris is saying. She has to, you know, get her message straight. But then he also said Hillary Clinton is still the favorite. Are analysts saying that?
I think that from a numeric standpoint, that's the case, right, Robin? Even though the gap is clearly decreasing. And when it comes to state-by-state numbers, there's some challenges, particularly when you look at New Hampshire, where she lost by more than 20 points.
And lost women.
Yeah, and lost young women, right? Mm-hmm. There's a poll that came out, I guess it was at the beginning of this week, that showed Bernie Sanders beating her by 80-some-odd points with young women.
So how's she the favorite?
Because the numbers, so numerically, again, she's still beating Bernie Sanders nationwide.
Mm-hmm. For the moment. And a lot of people, by the way, right, saying that in South Carolina, because there's such a big African-American population, especially among Democratic voters, that she's going to have better numbers there. Although just today, we have Bernie Sanders in New York City meeting with Al Sharpton, hugging each other, waving to the cameras. He got basically an endorsement from the writer Ta-Nehisi Coates, who says, job. Well, I'm not endorsing him, but yeah. I am saying this is who I'm voting for. But in any case, is Bernie Sanders going to surprise Angela, do you think, in South Carolina and actually do better among minority voters and Nevada, for that matter, with a lot of Latinos there than people think?
Well, he could. What I will tell you is that just like every other voter in this country, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, and everyone on the GOP side, they have to work for these votes. So just because there is a overwhelmingly black electorate in South Carolina doesn't necessarily mean that Hillary Clinton automatically gets them. Right now, yes, she is polling higher with African Americans, but those folks have to turn out. And so part of this is a passion project. Just like Bob Shrum said, she has to sharpen her message. She has to ensure that she's speaking to that particular segment of the electorate. So part of this has to do with turnout. She has their support, but whether or not she has their votes depends on turnout.
Let's take up Donald Trump from last night. Let's just listen to a little more of his speech.
I have so many friends up here, and they are special, special people. So, New Hampshire, I want to thank you. We love you. We're going to be back a lot. We're not going to forget you. You started it. Remember, you started it.
Well, and today's New York Daily News shows a Donald Trump in evil clown makeup, and the headline says, Dawn of the Brain Dead. You know, Paris, just what's happening in the party? Everybody knows now that there's the establishment Republican Party. There's,
right.
You know, people who are going for this outsider. What's happening? Are people having heart attacks?
Well, there was a reality check last night. The reality check was Donald Trump is a serious candidate. You can no longer write him off. You can no longer say he can't win. You can no longer say that he doesn't appeal to people, because when you look at the exit polling show that he won across the board in New Hampshire, women, young people. I mean, it was
every
just
demographic,
really,
yeah.
Every demographic he won. And so now he's a serious candidate with momentum. And so for the establishment wing, it's like, how do we take him out?
Well, what I was going to say, I think polls also show that a huge percentage of Republicans across the country not only just are not for him, he won with, 35 or something percent in New Hampshire, but you were pointing out, or somebody was this morning, Jeremy, that something like 60% of Republicans viscerally don't like him.
That's that also plays into the issue of the down ballot measures. Down ballot candidates, those are running for Congress, those are running for Senate, gubernatorial races. These issues of Donald Trump's unfavorables are going to play into that unless
the field stays split.
Well, the field stays split and his voters continue to turn out and vote for him.
Well, let's talk about the other winner last night in terms of the expectations game, and that would be John Kasich, the Ohio governor, who came in a strong second place. Let's listen to him speaking last night.
We're going to solve the problems in America not by being extreme, not by being first a Republican or a Democrat, but reminding everybody that we are Americans dedicating to shining up America and fixing our problems.
And then we also heard from Jeb Bush, who did better than expected. Here he is.
And while the reality TV star is still doing well, it looks like you all have reset the race, and for that, I am really grateful.
So, Paris, what about the establishment side? And then let me get your thoughts on that, Angela, as well.
Well, from the establishment side, it was a good night for, like you mentioned, John Kasich and Governor Jeb Bush. But what it showed and it proved is if you put in the work, if you put in the time, and if you talk directly to the voters will reward you. And that was a positive thing. John Kasich and Jeb Bush spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of town halls in New Hampshire, and the voters responded in kind. It was a good night for them, and they're going to take that momentum to South Carolina, where Jeb Bush is already talking about how well of a ground game that he has in that state.
Well, and John Kasich apparently doesn't have as big a staff and support in South Carolina. And from here on out, suddenly you don't have weeks in a state. You've got days, you know, and you're jumping from state to state. So how much does that impact things, Angela?
Well, I can't speak to that. What I did want to hit on is Paris's last point, which was if you invest the time, you'll get rewarded. That's not all the way true, right? Rubio had a bad night, especially thanks to Chris Christie. And I think that was really a referendum on Marco Rubio and not thanking Jeb Bush for his grace and his amazingness. I think that really was, hey, Marco, your robot malfunctioned, and so we've got to find somebody else in the establishment. But Chris Christie certainly wasn't rewarded, and he spent a lot of time in New Hampshire.
Amazing how honest people are after the election happens, because Marco Rubio was saying right up until the election, oh, I did well. The whole debate was great.
Yes.
You know, people said I did a great job. And then he comes out afterwards and says, I didn't do well, and I'll never do that again.
Yeah. That's right.
But we only have a minute left here. Maybe Paris jump in. How this nature of this starts to change, and suddenly it's a train that can get out of control if you don't have that infrastructure set up throughout the country.
It's very true. You already heard Governor Kasich's campaign talking about how they are looking past South Carolina and looking at Nevada, looking at Michigan, because they know the states that neighbor Ohio, he will play better and has a better infrastructure there. And so really this is going to come down to money. Can they raise enough money to go the distance to get past the SEC and move towards Ohio and Michigan? And if they are able to do that, then they can be successful. But you're absolutely right. Ground game is key. Infrastructure is key. And that has been the main critique against Donald Trump, because a lot of them said, you don't have the infrastructure. You just have the energy and the media, but you don't have the ground game. Does he have the ground game? It remains to be seen.
Well, he'll buy it. He'll buy one.
Right.
Well, and meanwhile, it appears Carly Fiorina and Ben Carson, they both say they're sticking in it for now. So we will keep an eye on it. Paris Denard and Angela Rye, here now, political analysts. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jeremy.
It's been fun.